The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Adam, your night with Beards and Briscoe, if you won the prize that the three of you just get to hang out and do what?
Wow.
Yeah. So many possibilities. So much
to
do.
Can't somebody else win this prize? Why do I have to win this prize?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't know if any liner makes me and Beards laugh out loud more consistently and has done it more times in a row than that one does, which also makes me smile because it means it's time to talk to Adam Teicher of ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Teicher. Read all of his stuff at ESPN.com. And Adam, this is obviously an incredibly busy time in the NFL. The Chiefs have made a splash. The other teams around the league are doing their thing. And I just really want to know how you feel about Michigan State's chances of getting out of that Eastern region.
Well, I'm going to go with the I don't want to anger the college basketball gods, okay? Because I have had the same champion in my bracket every year once I fill it out before the tournament, every year for the last 25 years. So I don't risk doing anything to anger the college basketball gods. So I want you to understand that before I tell you.
Okay.
But they're going to win the whole thing again, just like I thought they've had would for the last 25 years, okay? Now, whether I really think that or not after watching them this season is another story, but that's my story right now, and I'm sticking to it.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that you'd been so consistent. I mean, that is, you are a Spartan through and through. That is, I don't know if it's some Izzo belief or some delusion or just trying to please the basketball gods, but I love that strategy.
Yeah, and you know, I think I've tried to please the basketball gods enough that where I deserve a little more payback for what I've done over the years. So, hopefully this will be the year. I am not sure it will, but hopefully it will.
Well, I was gonna say that, you know, maybe at some point you just try to get no pun intended here, but you try to switch around the juju a little bit and just like pick Michigan to win it all, but you're not going to have the option to do that this year. So, I mean, you've already got one W in your column, I have to imagine.
Yeah, I do, and you know, a few Final Fours as well. But the last few years have been a little bit I'm spoiled, but the last few years have been a little rough.
I might see if I can have them upset Marquette on my bracket just to try to give a little extra push for the bracket gods.
Well, please do. We could use all the help we can get this year.
Well, look, it seems like the Chiefs may have said the same thing to Jerron Taylor. I was surprised when they didn't franchise tag Orlando Brown Jr. I was surprised when I first saw that number come down for Jerron Taylor, despite the fact we had talked about it on this show a little bit here and there, that, hey, you know, maybe the Chiefs do decide that there's more value in a right tackle than there would be in spending big on a left tackle. But then it starts coming out that, oh, well, maybe the Chiefs see him on the left side. So walk us through what you were seeing around this time yesterday as the Jerron Taylor news dropped.
Yeah. I mean, you know, interesting trade. The Chiefs are essentially trading Orlando Brown for Jerron Taylor. And, you know, I love the Chiefs' habit. They only spend money on outside free agents, on young guys. I mean, you can go back to Brett Veach's history with a free agency. I mean, every free agent you can imagine was under 30, and in a lot of cases, well under 30. And Jerron Taylor's only 25. You know, you feel like he's just headed into the best years of his career, and maybe those years will be for the Chiefs. We'll see. You know, he's a little bit rough maybe as a player, and, you know, he's got some work to do, but you know, maybe the Chiefs can coach him into that. So we'll see. But, you know, they had to do something. It was pretty obvious. And so this is a pretty interesting move.
Yeah, it's a great point that you're right. I mean, it is big money for guys who at least the Chiefs believe are still ascending, right? I mean, even with Orlando Brown, that was draft capital, and they paid him decent money for a couple of years. And they may have ejected when they thought actually he doesn't have that much more room to grow. How does the right tackle, left tackle switch around make you feel on the Chiefs' behalf?
Well, that's always a concern. You know, what did Jacksonville see, and why wouldn't they make this move? And you know, that's always makes you wonder a little bit. And you know, he's played, I think, I looked it up, 17 tackle snaps at left tackle in his whole career. So there's not a lot there. Over 4,000 at right tackle. So that makes you wonder a little bit. But the Chiefs made it work with Orlando Brown, although he had a little more of a history from that last year, his last season in Baltimore. He had to move over to the left side. So there was a little more of a history there. And I just don't know that that's as big a thing maybe as it once was. You know, I feel like the game has changed enough where tackles are, in some sense, maybe a little more interchangeable than they were. So, you know, going to be interesting to see how it works out. But I don't know that that's a huge concern, really.
Yeah, I kind of buy it as an option that you see the physical tools and you think you can, you know, Andy Heck can move him over to the left side. I'm interested in that, but I'm even more interested in what it means for the other tackle position. Obviously, Andrew Wiley in Washington now. Orlando Brown won't be back. I don't know if you think there's any chance those brief Laremy Tunsil rumors have anything else. I mean, it would be a bleeping ton of money to try to make the bookends of those guys around Joe Tooney already making a lot of money there, too. But the idea that the Chiefs might just kind of wait around until 31, draft the best tackle on the board, left tackle or right tackle, and then have Taylor play the other side. We talked about that in the last hour. I think it's really interesting. Do you think that's practical? Do you think that is where the Chiefs are looking right now?
Well, I don't think they're locked into that by any means. I mean, they have Lucas Niang, who they drafted a few years ago. You remember he sat out his rookie year. He did the COVID opt-out. Mm-hmm. And then played some the next year and then got hurt. And, you know, there's still some hope for him that he can be a starting right tackle in the NFL. So I don't know that the Chiefs have to do anything anymore at tackle. I don't feel like that's a must. Now, if their 31st pick comes around and the Chiefs are, you know, there's somebody there they like, by all means, go ahead and do it and then decide on positions you know, after that, or even in the second round or a later round. But I don't know that there's an absolute need right now for a tackle for the Chiefs. I don't know that that's where they have to go with that first round. But this pick or this signing of Juwan Taylor sort of gives them the flexibility now to go ahead and do it if there's a guy you like. But, you know, you don't have to feel obligated to do it anymore.
Yeah, so you think there's a legit chance that they just, the week one next year, Juwan Taylor's the left tackle and Lucas Niang's the right tackle?
Oh, yeah. I would think they're the leaders in the clubhouse right now at those respective positions, right? So, yeah, I think there's a real very good chance of that. Hey, it could be that they draft somebody or bring somebody else in free agency, but I'm not counting on that right now. I think, you know, definitely Taylor's going to be one starter, and I think Niang will be the other one when we roll around to opening day, yeah.
I like that. I like Niang when they drafted him. His I can't remember if he played his senior year at TCU or if that was his junior year before he entered the draft. But I know he was playing through an injury that whole year, and so his last year of college tape wasn't great, and then the injury issues here. But I was kind of buying his traits and the idea that the Chiefs might still be in on him. It just felt like he was out of sight, out of mind for a while. Andrew Wiley held on to that job, but I'm interested to see if he can grab onto that. Were you surprised at all to see that? I thought the Andrew Wiley contract was great for him and perfectly fine for Washington. Did you think the Chiefs were interested around that range, or was it just a matter of Wiley getting a raise somewhere else?
Well, you know, as the Chiefs looked at this as the season went on, there was a pretty good understanding that Wiley was going to be going and that Niang was going to be the next man up. And I think that's the way the Chiefs looked at this all along. And so in that sense, I think the Chiefs were looking at it, if this makes any sense, that Andrew Wiley was maybe going to be more valuable to another team than he was going to be to the Chiefs. So I don't think the Chiefs would have gone there for Andrew Wiley with Lucas Niang as a backup plan. So, you know, I think this was the idea all along. And But I tell you what, Wiley came a long way during his time with the Chiefs, and he'll always Chiefs fans all should always have a special place for him because the way he played in that Super Bowl was just fantastic. Hopefully for him, he made some money with that game as well.
Yeah, it seems like he did, and I think it's fascinating that Lucas Niang keeps coming up. I'm kind of excited about the Lucas Niang resurgence. We're talking to Adam Teicher of ESPN. One of the slowest markets of these last couple of days has been at wide receiver, Adam. The only move of note being that Jacoby Myers signs a 3-year deal with the Raiders, $33 million, $21 million of it guaranteed. I saw a lot of places where he was supposed to be the number one free agent wide receiver of this class, and he's getting about $11 million. I mean, it's $11 million average annual value, and about that through a 2-year deal. I mean, effectively two it for 22, I suppose. I was surprised that number was where it is, and I think that might mean good things for the Chiefs' ability to bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. Am I reading that right, or what are you seeing in the wide receiver market?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that is a good idea, a good sign for the Chiefs in terms of wanting to retain Juju Smith-Schuster, that maybe this market is not going to get where Juju wants it to go for him, or any other wide receiver for that matter. So, we'll see what happens here in the coming days. But, I think this is good news that market has not developed the way those players maybe hoped it would. So we'll see what it means for him and for Mecole Hardman as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a feel at this point as to what the Chiefs are hoping to get out of the receiver conversation? I mean, is there a best case scenario in terms of it being Juju, somebody else going any other different routes?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs certainly would like Juju Smith-Schuster back, and I think everything else will pivot around that. I mean, do they get him or do they not get him? And if not, then they've got some work to do. And if they do, then where do they want to go with this? I mean, I know they have big plans for Kadarius Toney this year. And how does Mecole Hardman, a possible return for him? I mean, there'll be a price where the Chiefs would take Mecole Hardman back, I don't know what he's going to get out there, but I feel like that's still on the table as well. I still feel like he's like I felt about Andrew Wiley. Mecole Hardman would probably be more valuable to another team than he would be to the Chiefs, but now that the Chiefs have Kadarius Toney. But, that doesn't mean he's not coming back if he can't get what he wants out there. Maybe he's content to take a 1-year deal, a kind of a prove-it thing, and stay healthy this time and have a full season and have something better to put on the table to other teams next year.
Do you sense any hesitance with the health? For Juju or for Hardman, I suppose. I mean, not that McColl's had injury issues over the course of his career. It was just a poor timing and a contract year for him. But do you think the Chiefs would be willing to give out a multi-year deal that's mostly guaranteed to Juju, or will they want to try to keep it shorter term?
Yeah, I would think you'd want shorter term. I mean, he's another guy who's not very old in football terms. I mean, he's only 26.
Yeah.
So you'd think maybe he's a guy who would also be heading into the best years of his career. But, he does have – he's played a lot, though. I mean, he's been in the league, 6 years now? And, there has been the knee is kind of a concern. And, he got through it okay last year. He had some problems with it during training camp, you remember. And there was some question of whether he was going to be ready for the start of the regular season. Yeah. And then, of course, it flared up again in the playoffs. But the Chiefs know that, and that probably is going to get his price down a little bit. But, I can't see a long-term deal with Juju, but who knows? Maybe they can structure it in a way where it works for both sides.
And then the one other move that the Chiefs have already actually made came through late last night was bringing back Tershawn Wharton on a 1-year deal, $2 million. I think he was an exclusive rights free agent or a restricted free agent. Now I can't remember. But they get the deal done with him. He tore his ACL early last year. I really liked what we've seen from him when he's been on the field. Matt Derrick said that it sounds like he should be certainly ready to go by training camp. What did you make of that as a depth kind of rotation piece? Maybe a high upside guy, really, in the interior?
Yeah, no, I think particularly now that, you know, certainly looks like Frank Clark is going to be gone, the Chiefs going to need some guys to rotate through there. And he's been a pretty good player. He's been a productive player. So I like Tershawn Wharton. So, yeah, good move by the Chiefs. I'm not convinced he's going to be back as quickly as maybe his people think he will. We'll see. Maybe he will be back in time for training camp, but still a good move on the Chiefs' part because he's a guy they want to keep around. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Since we're on the defensive tackles, are you surprised at all that free agency has gotten as far as we have now and the Chiefs haven't done anything to lock up Chris Jones long term, or do you think that's going to be something that gets a lot closer to training camp?
Yeah, well, just look at the history, what they've done with those kinds of deals with Brett Veach. You know, when they did Chris Jones, it was right before training camp. And when they did Mahomes, it was right before training camp. And when they did Travis Kelce, it was right before training camp. So, you know, these kinds of moves, they generally, hey, we're going to take care of now, and then we'll worry about next year or the extensions later on. So I'm thinking that the Jones thing will probably be a little bit later. The Chiefs will get done the things they have to get done now and then start working on that as well.
This is another just sort of like monetary bookkeeping question, I guess, but I figured that they were going to do the Patrick Mahomes like easy button restructure every year, and they didn't do it last year, and they haven't done it this year. Are they just going to eat that cap space unless they have someone who comes around who they need to spend that money on, or do you have a sense of if that move would be coming?
Yeah, well, things are a little bit tight for the Chiefs right now in terms of cap space at this point. I think you'd rather have a little bit more to work with than what they've got right now. So I think they got to clear it somewhere. And, you know, there's other places they can go, certainly. There's other things they can do. And remember, they don't have to, account for all of Mahomes' money that way. They can just do a small portion if that's what they choose to do. So, we'll see. But you don't want to keep kicking that can down the road. I mean, at some point you have to take your medicine with that. And they started to last year for sure. So, we'll see where they go with it. But, that's always an option for them. And I guess it depends on what they're confronted with and how bad they needed it. But at some point, they may get to that, yeah.
Well, eventually, maybe after the break, we can kind of switch to look in some more other targets or other team building stuff. But in the rest of the unrestricted free agency group, we've talked about just about everybody who I think is going to have a significant market. But we haven't talked about the edge position much. And in terms of you mentioning Frank Clark probably not going to be back, haven't heard anything one way or another on Carlos Dunlap, both unrestricted free agents. And also, that just seems like a spot where the Chiefs would probably like to upgrade if they could. I don't know if they're going to be able to do the multi-year deal for a young guy thing that you mentioned earlier that's really been kind of Brett Veach's MO, or if that's going to be a way they kind of continue to address that position in the draft like they did with George Karlaftis and others. But do you think that there is a younger defensive end option out there? Do you think that we're just going to wait around until they add, somebody, a Calais Campbell type? We were talking about him yesterday, a veteran who might be in on a one-year deal, or could there be a bigger fish to land from the edge class?
Yeah, well, there could be. That's a logical spot for them to look at in the draft, like they did toward the end of the first round last year. So, that's certainly an option. Maybe a younger guy, maybe Calais Campbell's not a young guy anymore.
No, but sure, he I like that fit though. Joe Colan crossover, yeah, a little bit.
I completely do too, and I really do. And look what the Chiefs have done. I mean, last year they brought in Dunlap, a veteran pass rusher, toward the end of training camp. You remember the Super Bowl year, the first Super Bowl year. I guess I need to specify which Super Bowl year I'm talking about now. It's kind of weird with the Chiefs that I'm still trying to get used to that you have to do that.
I don't mind it, but
anyway,
it is weird.
Yeah, you know, they brought in Terrell Suggs toward the end of the season and got some mileage and got some good play out of him toward the end of the year. So yeah. I'm always that spot is always going to be on my radar for the Chiefs, maybe later in the game as opposed to earlier in the game, in terms of them going out and finding a veteran in that spot. So, it's going to be interesting to see what the Chiefs do. I mean, they've got Mike Dana right now, and I think he's pretty underrated. I really like him, and certainly Karloftis as well, but that's not enough. That's not going to get them through a season for sure, so or even a game. So they do have some work to do there, no doubt.
Do you have any feel whatsoever? I mean, you said it sounds like Frank Clark's probably in somewhere else. Do you think he's going to get priced out? Have you heard anything about Carlos Dunlap one way or the other?
No, and it's maybe too early for him. You remember he didn't really sign last year until training camp, so. And maybe that the Chiefs get together with him later on down the road if that's something that they both want to do, if the Chiefs have a need and he's still interested. So, another guy they picked up, I forgot about him a couple of years ago, it was Melvin Ingram, remember?
Yep.
They did that in the middle of the year. So, the Chiefs have been in that market quite a few times, and it's entirely possible they will be, late in free agency or, camp time this year as well.
The only guy who I wondered if they might try, he's not nearly as old as most of the guys that we've talked about, but Marcus Davenport on a one-year $13 million deal. Obviously, you can't move that money around, that would have been expensive. It would have probably meant hitting that Mahomes button and figuring those things out, but I wondered if there was any chance they might try to do the souped-up version of that this year. I don't know if there's anybody else, though, unless you want to try the Jadeveon Clowney sweepstakes or whatever that would really fill that role as kind of a... One of the older mercenaries, but a guy doing it at a higher level, maybe.
Yeah, that's another guy. We talked about Calais Campbell, but Jadeveon Clowney is another guy who you can throw in that category. So, it's going to be interesting to see what the Chiefs do, but they have some options. That's the great thing about, having a full complement of draft picks and a little bit of money to spend is they do have some options. And, I feel like there's always going to be value as long as the Chiefs are playing the way they are and have Mahomes at quarterback. There's going to be some value to, like Carlos Dunlap wanted to come here. He wanted to get his 100th sack, but he also wanted to win a playoff game and win a Super Bowl. And so you're always going to get guys like that who are going to be interested in maybe that sweetens the Chiefs deal maybe beyond what they offer financially. I think this is a place people are going to look at what happened to Dunlap and some of these other guys. Or Terrell Suggs and say, maybe that's where I want to go for that one last hurrah for my career.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one brief trivia question here, something I learned about Calais Campbell yesterday, then we'll take a timeout and look elsewhere in the offseason plan. But Calais Campbell has played in a Super Bowl. Do you know which one?
Well, it wasn't with Baltimore because it's been a while, right?
It's been a while.
It wouldn't have been with, I guess it was, it Arizona?
It was Arizona. It was.
See, I almost forgot that he played for Arizona.
I know.
That's how long ago that was. I think of him as Jacksonville and Baltimore.
Me
so,
too.
It had to be Arizona, right?
Yep, it was his rookie season, I believe. I mean, in a game where, Kurt Warner and Ben Roethlisberger were going toe-to-toe, Calais Campbell was out there. I pulled up the stats. I think it was like two tackles in the game for him then. But that just blew my mind. He played in a game with Edgerrin James there. Like, Edgerrin James was the leading rusher for the Cardinals in that Super Bowl, and Calais Campbell was on the field.
Probably the only guy still left in the league from that game who played in that game, right?
He's
maybe
there's
another rookie from Pittsburgh or something, but I would think he'd be the only one, right?
I'm going to scroll through it during the break and I'll let you know, but it has got to be a very narrow list. Unless there's maybe, is there a kicker? I'm going to check out the kickers. I think both of the kickers are probably gone too. Yeah, Neil Rackers isn't out here doing it anymore.
Do they count anyway, even if they are?
Well, that look, that's now we're asking the hard-hitting questions. That right there is where the money actually lands. We're talking to Adam Teicher of ESPN. We'll take a quick timeout here in the zone. Jason Anderson's out. He's taking his family to the land of milk and honey and dreams and magic. And I don't know, what's the actual tagline for Disney? Anybody know the actual Disney tagline? It doesn't matter. Jason's out having fun. We're having our fun here talking to Adam Teicher of ESPN. Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly. More Zone next.
You're in the zone.
Some people click this podcast and it says, like, more on Spencer Ware to injured reserve, which isn't official yet, but whatever, and breaking down the Chiefs trade. And like, all right, hell yeah, Chiefs trade.
With Jason Anderson.
And they clicked it, and we're 10 minutes in, and I'm about to explain the story of this pineapple hat that I'm wearing.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Zone rolling on with you here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly with you, joined by Adam Teicher of ESPN. I'll give a quick update here on the Laramie Tunsil talk, by the way. DJ Bien-Ami on Twitter, ESPN's Houston Texans reporter, says KC trade is dead. Texans aren't actively shopping him. So if you had a dream of the absolute bulldozer, Game of Thrones wall, whatever you wanted it to be for the Chiefs offensive line, sounds like Laramie Tunsil is going to stay in front of whoever the quarterback ends up being down there in Houston. Meanwhile, Adam, I do want to talk about a couple of these pass catchers. In fact, I got a tweet during the break saying, hey, can you please ask Adam about Adam, being Adam Thielen. I am interested, as we talk about some of these like one-year veterans on the defensive end group that want to come through and try to win a ring on the defensive side. I've also heard some talk about wide receivers trying to get to Kansas City. It certainly has worked for some other guys, been great for Juju. I think it'll end up being good for Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Justin Watson showed up and got some real work. So even if they do bring back Juju Smith-Schuster, what do you think the odds are of an Adam Thielen type, Robert Woods, kind of anyone in that category? Or do you think that is dependent on them not bringing back Smith-Schuster?
Yeah, I think more likely it would be only if Juju, a guy like Thielen would only be if Juju doesn't re-sign with the Chiefs. Because now you've got a crowd, you know, you've got Juju, and you've got Valdez-Scantling, and you've got Sky Moore, and you've got Kadarius Toney. Yeah. So you know, their depth chart's filling up pretty quickly in that respect. Not to say the Chiefs wouldn't do that. Maybe look at a guy if maybe they don't draft anybody. But it's hard for me to see that right now. If Juju comes back now, if he doesn't come back, the Chiefs have to do something there, and probably going to have to do it with a veteran. So then it starts to make a lot more sense to me.
Does Thielen feel like the right fit of that group for you, if it is a Juju replacement?
Yeah, I think he would be okay. I mean, I think anybody the Chiefs would get would be okay here.
if he can
stay healthy, I think they'd he would be fine. Might not be my first choice, maybe, but I could see the Chiefs being interested in that. But I think the whole thing really does hinge on Juju, because that's a guy I know they wanted to bring back, and so we'll see if they can get it done.
You mentioned Kadarius Toney a couple of times, and it seems like there's also been increasing amounts of smoke around him since the season ended, which is hilarious because they won the Super Bowl, then we had like a month to catch our breath, and now we're already here talking about, you know, how the Chiefs are viewing Kadarius Toney. But when you hear stuff like, oh, the Chiefs think Kadarius Toney is going to be the best receiver on their team next year, do you buy that with how he could get used in this offense?
Yeah, I think you look at when the Chiefs' interest in him started. I mean, they loved him 2 years ago when he was coming out in the draft, and you knew that at the time, and they just couldn't get to him. The Giants beat him to him. I think there was a good chance that the Chiefs would have drafted him, themselves had they had the opportunity. Now, they ended up trading that pick to Baltimore for Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
He really would have had to drop, but I think if they'd kept that pick, I think there's a good chance Toney would have been their pick had he still been around late first round. So, they loved him then. You remember Pat Mahomes was talking about them maybe trying to trade for him again last offseason, this time last year, and So you knew there was interest in the Chiefs on their part then, and they stayed with it, and they finally got it, the deal done, finally got him here. I mean, that tells you how much they like the guy. I mean, their persistence in this matter tells you what they think of him. And, when you see the ball in his hands, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I mean, this guy is about as close with the ball in his hands to Tyreek Hill as anything really the Chiefs have had coming through here in a long time. That punt return in the Super Bowl was really a great piece of work on his part, and not too many guys can make that play, you know. Mm-hmm. So they do like him, and we'll see how it works out, whether he's can handle that kind of pressure and that kind of expectation and that kind of workload. But I don't think there's any doubt that the Chiefs, they see some big expectations for him, no doubt. And to me, the great thing if you're the Chiefs about that is if Kadarius Toney just completely flops from this point forward, and I'm not suggesting he's going to, but if he does and he never catches another pass for the Chiefs, that trade was still worth it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for what he did for them in the Super Bowl, that trade was still worth it. So, but I don't think that's going to happen, and I do think that this is a guy that the Chiefs can move forward with. And don't forget, Justin Ross is around. We'll see what he can bring to the mix, if anything, this year. So but as far as Toney, I do expect he'll be a huge part of things, no doubt.
This is kind of an interesting, or maybe it's a stranger angle now, after the NFLPA report card comes out and you see all the things about the Chiefs, presumably having some issues. I mean, not even presumably. It says that there are some players who had issues with Rick Burkholder. But I think Kadarius Toney's probably still in New York if he's healthy. I mean, I know there are some other things going on there, too. But that really was the concern. Obviously, he ended up missing time here as well last year. Do you think there is like a real belief amongst the Chiefs that, hey, it's we can keep him healthy, we can help him rebuild some parts of his body to keep those hamstrings from flaring up? Or is it just going to be, we're going to have him when we're playing when we have him, and when we don't, we'll deal with it? Or do they really think that there is like a way they can try to keep him in tip-top shape a little more?
Yeah, well, I've never met a coaching staff or a training staff who didn't think that they could fix a guy, for lack of a better term, the thought that, hey, our methods are the best methods and we're going to make it work for everybody we come in contact with. Now, some staffs are better than others in that regard, but with him, I don't know there's a whole lot that they could do that maybe the Giants didn't do. But it was interesting that, he couldn't get on the field with New York early in the year, allegedly because of these hamstring problems. He comes here and plays right away. So, yeah. Even he didn't think he was really injured at the end in New York. So just kind of a weird situation there. But, that might be something the Chiefs have to end up dealing with him. But I think he's probably worth it because what they got out of him in limited playing time was pretty good.
Yeah, and he is electric. I mean, even Super Bowl, your point about the Super Bowl notwithstanding, right? Like, yes, if they get not another snap out of him, no one should be too upset about that third round pick or whatever. But I that's a gamble I would take on a different player again if there was a similar skill set out there. Like you said, it's the closest thing we've seen to Tyreek Hill in this offense since Tyreek Hill. With that in mind, I want to take at least a second to kind of look ahead towards the draft some, or even just other places you think this team is going to potentially look in free agency. We've talked about a lot of the guys who are out there. But when you look at the roster now, you basically swap out Orlando Brown for Juwan Taylor. We've talked about the edges. We've talked about the pass catchers. They also still have a pretty good swath of picks that they've used, like last year, to totally revamp the defensive side of the ball. If you're getting the crystal ball out here in mid-March, one first, second, and third, two fourth-round picks, and then extras in the sixth and seventh round as well, where are you looking right now in terms of where the Chiefs might have a chance to attack a specific position group, or is this going to be a patient year for them?
Yeah, well, I'm just looking for good players, I mean, certainly there's some thin spots right now, but I'm not sure they should be counting on taking care of immediate needs with the draft. I mean, they don't pick until 31, and they do have a bunch of picks, but it's not like last year where they had two firsts and two seconds. You know, they don't have multiple picks in a round until four this year, so it's a different kind of draft, but... And you just can't count on finding a Pacheco in the seventh round or a Watson in the seventh round. That was such great work for the Chiefs, but don't be spoiled by that. You know, that's not going to happen all the time. So, or Snead in the fourth round, although they seem to be doing this a lot. So maybe they can. But so I'm just looking for good players. I don't know that they necessarily going to need to attack a position. I mean, certainly there's going to be areas where they need to bring guys in, no doubt about it. But, you know, I'm assuming Juan Thornhill's going to be gone, so you're going to need to do something at safety. Doesn't have to be starter necessarily because you drafted Cook last year, but maybe a third guy who can fill a role that Cook filled last year. You can certainly find a veteran to do that too, you know, so that's not an absolute necessity. But, I don't think at this point where they are at wide receiver, I'm thinking that's going to be a priority. Now, if Juju comes back, that changes things a little bit, but still, that's a position. I don't as much as they love multiple tight ends, what's wrong with bringing in a tight end that you could play a lot to run along with side Travis Kelce? So there's a lot of things they can do. Certainly, replacing Frank Clark has to be on the radar and all that. But, developmental offensive linemen certainly wouldn't hurt. So there's a lot of things they can do, but I think the great thing is that they're not really locked into doing any of it in an early round or late round or whatever it might be. I think they can sort of pick and choose with good players, and that's what you want to do. Yeah. If the Chiefs end up using all these 10 draft picks, they can cover some real ground, that's for sure.
You mentioned Juan Thornhill. That's one guy I should ask you about a lot earlier, because it just sort of seems like pretty quickly it shifted from, I wonder what they'll do with Thornhill. Oh, he's probably going to get paid more somewhere else. Jesse Bates just got a huge bag of money from the Falcons. You just mentioned it sounds like Thornhill's probably not going to be back. If that is the case, again, Brian Cook played really well, especially late in the year, but they made that pick when he was going to be the third safety, right? I mean, if he's the successor to Thornhill, I'd expect that Steve Spagnuolo would want to have another third safety that they can trust in that spot, like you said. But what are you seeing in the safety market, specifically Thornhill probably not being back, and what that might mean for the Chiefs' options there, and if the belief in Brian Cook is as strong as it sounds?
Yeah, I think that's another case. We talked about this with Hardman and with Andrew Wiley, but I think Thornhill is maybe a guy who's maybe a little more valuable to some other team than he would be with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he wasn't a good player. I thought he was. I thought he was kind of underrated maybe by
Me
some
too.
Chiefs fans. I liked him, and I hope he gets his big payday, but I don't think that would be here. I think his chance for coming back here would be to take some kind of lesser deal and maybe another 1-year deal. I maybe something like Juju took last year. But I do feel like he's too good of a player to have to take that deal. I would think. I think somebody's going to want him at more money than the Chiefs would offer him. So we'll see if that develops for him. But I would think he's got a good shot at that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Adam, appreciate the time as always. I also just double-checked the calendar, and it's going to be me and Beards again next week. Jason's taking one of those long Disney trips and getting some well-deserved time off. So as long as you don't come up with a good excuse for next week, we'll talk to you next Tuesday, and I imagine a lot of these guys we just talked about will have new deals.
Yeah, and as long as Jason's not on the day-to-day list anymore,
no.
That's all that counts. As long as you have a definite return date there, it's all that matters.
We do. We've got a rehab plan for him. We've got the specific timeline, and not day-to-day. Got a date circled right now, and we'll if that ever changes, we'll let you know. And at that point, we're going to need the thoughts and prayers. Yeah.
Good news.
Adam, I'm going to try to get a couple of wins for Michigan State in my bracket as well. Appreciate it.
We need that. Thanks, man.
Adam Teicher of ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter. You can see him on ESPN. Read him on ESPN.com. You know all that. He's Adam Bleepin' Teicher. one of the best. Been a long time covering this football team, and just a wonderful, wonderful person to talk some Chiefs football with. We'll do it again next week, and there are a couple of names we really hit on over the last 45 minutes or so that I'm not quite done talking about yet. We'll get to some more bracketology and talk some college basketball with Myron Metcalf coming up here at noon. But I've got a couple of names circled mentally that Adam is mentioning a few times there that I think are going to be really interesting pieces in the rest of this Chiefs offseason. We'll talk about that when we come back next in the zone.
You're in the zone.
He got traded to the Pirates in August for international bonus pool money.
Steelers didn't need help on that defense. They were injury depleted.
They could use some more speed, and maybe they replaced Juju.
How was international... What was the rest of that word?
Dang it. I looked into the glass and I just saw Beards deflating.
With Jason Anderson.
However, how did international bonus pool money end up doing the majors last year?
Oh, good question, Beards. Funny joke.
Thank you.
Nailed the dismount.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about Lucas Niang just based off of what Teicher was talking about last segment. Appreciate Adam joining us as he does every Tuesday. He's the best. That's the name that I was sort of teasing. I want to talk more about because Teicher believes not only that Lucas Niang could be the starting right tackle next year, but that having him as an option made it easier for the Chiefs to let Andrew Wiley walk. I think that's fascinating. It just sort of shows there being some belief in what Lucas Niang can do at the right tackle position. He got a snap in the Super Bowl. I can't remember if it was on the Andrew Wiley attempted touchdown pass or if it was the play after it because he had to come out for a play. I can't remember what the mechanics of that were. But that's why it was something to do with that Andrew Wiley play. Anyway, that I think is fascinating. We'll continue to talk about that with the rest of our Chiefs guests over the remainder of the week. But Lamar Jackson is taking the Twitter, quote tweeting a story from Baltimore Beatdown, the SB Nation Ravens site. The headline in the Baltimore Beatdown tweet is Schefter, Lamar Jackson turned down $200 million guaranteed deal back in September. Lamar Jackson has quote tweeted that with the gif of a TikTok of a man wearing several caps and then making a eyebrow raising sort of terse face kind of. He's saying, to translate, for all the olds out there, unlike me, still very much a cool kid, he's saying that report is cap. Which means not true. That's not even the most interesting part. That part's pretty good. Here's the thing that we know pretty well at this point. The National Insiders, I swear we're going to make some time to talk about this at some point this week because there's a drinking game for it and everything. The National Insiders this year have been even more egregious about like name dropping the agents like crazy, and also. They have relationships with agents and teams. Players move, players retire. Your relationships with agents and front offices usually have a longer shelf life. That's where most of their information is going to come from. Now, sometimes it's figuring out, is it from the agent or from the team, negotiations and all of that, but Lamar Jackson's in a fascinating place because he doesn't have an agent. He represents himself, like his mom is directly involved. I'm sure there's some management stuff going on around him. I'm not saying he's doing all of his own online banking or whatever. I'm guessing he wasn't on TurboTax punching his desk as hard as I was yesterday. But with that being said, he also responds to that, Lamar Jackson, with 133, 3 years fully guaranteed, side-eye, frowning emoji, but I need an agent, laughing emoji, facepalm emoji. So what he's saying here, and this is how NFL Network interpreted it as well because they had it up on their graphic too. What it seems like he's saying there is that he turned down a 3-year deal fully guaranteed with $133 million. Do some quick math. 133 divided by 3. $44 million and change. 3 repeating, actually. Happy Pi Day, everybody. We're having fun with decimals. $44 million per year on average, fully guaranteed, but only for 3 years. That's a deal that if I was the Ravens, I would offer that happily. It's a lot of money, and fully guaranteed is scary, but so was a playoff game with Tyler Huntley. So is a future without Lamar Jackson. And if I'm Lamar Jackson...
Zach Wilson's going to be available.
Sounds like it. Future Packers backup Zach Wilson? I don't even think they want him.
Maybe they trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh. I 100% understand why Lamar would turn that deal down. Because if you stay healthy and win another MVP, you hit the open market again, you can get even more money. That's great. But the hardest thing to get in the NFL contractually is security. Genuine security. Guaranteed money in the NFL is not guaranteed money in the MLB or NBA, where it's all guaranteed. The NFL, you have to get that in writing. And Lamar wants more long-term stability. Simply want the guarantees. The Ravens don't want to give it to him. And so here we are. God knows how much longer that's going to go on for.